Good morning, everyone. I was just enjoying the song by Rune and Marita. I haven't seen them in a long time, and just hearing their voices again in the Queen of Light song was wonderful. So happy to be with you this morning. As you saw in Kathleen's announcement, I desired to talk with you about heaven's corporate offices. One way of looking at how all of the magnificent teachings we've been given by the Ascended Masters seem to work together. We have such an understanding as students of the teachings of the Ascended Masters that are almost, are both microscopic and telescopic. We look at God and we see facets of Him through our many cosmic beings, Elohim, archangels. It is awesome. Definitely there's more to heaven than meets the eye and our connection with heaven and how things work there. I know that maybe the term corporations and businesses may seem very intellectual to you. I just meant it in a way of having some fun and adding another metaphor to the many ways that other religious understandings have attempted to explain how the universe works, how all things seem to come together and to make sense of it all. Surely God does not want us to be guessing about this. And what has been so profound for me in having found the teachings of the Ascended Masters is what we can understand, not for human and intellectual stimulation or to show to others how much we know, but to understand the one we love a little better. When we marry, we hopefully know enough about our spouse so that there aren't too many surprises along the way, but there always are. And we get to find out more and more aspects of that beloved that can draw us to love that person, that individual, more and more. So the knowledge, as we are in the right space, is to make that relationship more profound, more meaningful, and actually to multiply and deepen love. Wow. Sometimes people tell me of their loneliness, and I do empathize, and I am compassionate. Sometimes, though, it is kind of interesting to me that in a world teeming with the presence of God in so many aspects that we will be talking about, how truly we can be lonely. Sometimes I think we could almost have a holy claustrophobia, because God is everywhere and through so many different aspects. As Robert was mentioning earlier, my goodness, there is just so many ways to look at this corporation that we call God. So let's start the tour. I'm going to look at with you different ways of seeing our chief executive officer of this cosmic corporation. The word God itself, G-O-D, is very interesting. It's an English word. It's actually an acronym that we'll talk about a little later. We know of God as the I am that I am. Now there's a name that's packed with mystical meaning, I am that I am. In the Christian tradition, we learn that God, even though Christians believe in one God, had aspects, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. When we embraced more New Age understanding, when I did, I was taught that I must remember that God is not just masculine in nature, and that God is mother, God is daughter, God is sister. And we've learned recently that the Holy Spirit is feminine, what an exciting thing for those of us that were born in this time around as females. My soul always sensed that there was equality. And when I found the teachings of the Ascended Masters, I was very happy to understand for true that there really is no difference in God's eyes spiritually between man and woman. I also learned in the teachings of the Ascended Masters, God in four facets. This is something to meditate on. I certainly don't have it fully understood, but I remember Elizabeth Clare Prophet's teaching of dividing a circle into four quadrants. And she told us that we would call these four quadrants Father, Son, Mother, Holy Spirit. And Father, she said, was an impersonal personality. The Son was an impersonal personality. And Mother was a personal personality. The Holy Spirit, a personal impersonality. Got that? Don't worry, there won't be a test. It's just an interesting peeking of our widening knowledge of the aspects of God that in some ways do make some sense to the mind and hopefully a whole lot more sense to the soul. When I've meditated upon this, I could see where the mother could definitely be a personal personality. In most cases, when a child requires comforting, it is the mother, especially in the early years, that comes, embraces, kisses, hugs, kisses the little sores and cuts and bruises, and makes us feel all better again. Definitely so very personal. And the Holy Spirit, the word spirit itself implies an impersonality, something that's everywhere, within, without, all around. And yet, what is the Holy Spirit called in many traditions? The Comforter. We know him as as the healer, the one who gives power, the one who refines. And speaking of maybe flow charts of cosmic corporations, if you remember, we had some teachings in the past through other organizations, and many of you are very adept at understanding the Kabbalah. Right on the cover of this book, you see a flow chart of the Sfirot. And one of the most important things for me when looking at the Tree of Life were three of the Sfirot. One was depicting God's judgment, God's perfect judgment. Another, balanced with it, was depicting God's mercy. And connected to that was Tiferet, which was very similar to our own step-down transformer of the Son, the teacher, the inner teacher. So we can see that there may be this impersonality where sometimes things happen that seem rather unfair, but there's more to it than meets the eye. Always, though, there's this flowing, especially when we invoke it, when we realize its importance, God's mercy, so personal to our unique situations. In examining God, I was taught that God, G-O-D, is an interesting acronym. It means geometry of divinity. That is so cool. Geometry of divinity. Within that acronym itself, we see that there's a lot going on with God. There's a lot happening, many facets, many identities, many virtues, many colorations. And this is what the teachings brought to my understanding. We find in the cosmic corporation that the bigger they are, the higher up the corporate ladder they are, the humbler they are. And that's why this metaphor has its limitations, because we think of corporations always as very competitive, wanting to beat the other guy at creating the greatest profits. We're into creating profits, P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S, if you will excuse that little play on words there. So here we are in God's office, and his office is in the great central sun. The great central sun is in the center of universes. We are given names to all of these executives in God's office, his managers, all who are doing great and important work, his messengers, each one happy with his position, her position in management. And so the great central sun is where we meet Alpha and Omega, our Father, Mother, God, in one of the highest aspects that we have come to understand. And interestingly enough, there are offices that branch off from that. And in our own planetary system, our sun, our spiritual sun behind the physical sun, is another corporate office, a smaller one. And the executive officers in that corporate office are Helios and Vesta. And so it goes. We see and are introduced to name upon name. One other aspect of God we've learned is entitled the Universal Great White Brotherhood. And this brotherhood is a governing body. We are an aspect of it even while we're here on Earth. In one of our foundational teaching articles on the Great White Brotherhood, the Mahachauhan shares that this organization is the authority and governing body which represents the Godhead in this system of worlds. So let me give you more of a tour. Stay with me now. We have Alpha and Omega. And then we have, in order of their power and authority, as I understand it, the Elohim. There are 12 Elohim that we specifically come to know and understand as they affect our solar system. And then the 12 Elohim are divided. We have the 7 what are called rainbow ray Elohim. And they are called rainbow ray because they equate to the 7 rays that you see in the causal body of the chart of your true identity. We call it your Buddha nature chart, which we talked about back on October 28th. We have a picture of it on our homepage for you to take a look at if this is a new chart for you. This is also a type of flow chart of God as a corporation in some of his aspects, her aspects. These 7 rainbow rays connect to our 7 major chakras. And each of the Elohim, which come in pairs, which we'll talk about at another time, have special qualities that work with us through these chakras. And some of these names may be familiar to you, maybe some are not. Hercules and Amazonia, Apollo and Lumina, Eros and Amora, Purity and Astraea, Cyclopea and Virginia, Peace and Aloha, Arcturus and Victoria. These names are power. I want to share and bring into reality, into the lives of those of us on Earth today, that these are names to invoke. These are names that link into the vibration of each of these beings that affect our lives. There was a young couple that I knew, and the wife and I were talking one day, and she shared an experience that she had while she and her husband were giving a prayer to Astraea Impurity. Astraea Impurity's function is to set us free. They are gentle exorcists of the things that we have gotten into, we've gotten attached to our auras, our beings, that we can be cleaned of day after day in a very gentle process. We pray every day in our community for our own setting free, our cleaning up, just like we shower every morning. We have this spiritual shower with mighty Astraea and purity. We can pray for the cleansing of a planet and beyond. And as this couple was involved in praying to Astraea, they both saw, as their third eyes were opened, souls that had already made their transition coming to them to be cleared, to be set free to go on. As long as they gave this prayer, souls kept coming. They were beginning to tire a bit, and as long as they would pray, they would see the souls coming until they finally had to stop. It is a tremendous reminder to all of us how we help one another, and that's the purpose of this corporation. It isn't so much to make a profit. In a way, it is, because it's about making light profit. They put it, the masters, the Elohim archangels, put an investment in us, and they do expect a return on that investment. It's a loving profit that they are looking for, though. And so we move on. We have the seven rainbow ray Elohim, and we have the five crystal ray Elohim. You know, there are seven white keys in our pianos and keyboards. And then there are five black keys. And when I started understanding the great order of heaven's plan and learned about the seven rays and then the five crystal rays, as they interpenetrated and added dimensions to the seven rays, as a musician of sorts, I thought immediately of the keyboard and how that was another example of the truth of God's ways. These five crystal rays that the Elohim work with, the archangels work with, our ascended masters work with, are located in our hands and in our feet, and in our thymus, next to our heart. There are points as chakras at the tips of our fingers and a chakra right in the center of our hands and of the soles of our feet. If you recall, Jesus performed many miracles, and we have learned that those miracles happened because of the mighty flow of light coming through his hands and his feet. Remember, he walked on the water. He was able to do magnificent feats that we call miracles because there was so much light flowing, not only through his seven major chakras and other chakras, but through these crystal ray chakras that we are beginning to learn more and more about in the heart center. We move on to the 12 archangels. Oh my goodness, there are names for each one of those. I want to talk about one of those archangels who are included in the seven rainbow ray archangels, Michael, Faith. Faith is his consort, his twin flame. Today we gave prayers to Archangel Michael. Archangel Michael is a very important archangel to know in God's corporate office. Many people don't know this. However, when Moses was commissioned by God to set the people of Israel free, the voice that he heard in the burning bush was the voice of Archangel Michael. Was this God speaking to him? Absolutely. In the personage, in the flame of Archangel Michael. Does Archangel Michael work with us today? Again, bringing this into the present, I want to share with you a story that is one of my favorite stories that happened to a friend of mine. His name is Wallace Tulloch. He lives in New York. He's part of our activity. And he is the most wonderful and adventurous student of the light that I know. When he was a young man, he had an experience that he shared in this book Archangel Michael's Miracles Today, an ebook on our website. Don't know if you can see this or not because I'm not looking at my picture, I'm looking at some notes. Archangel Michael's Miracles Today. And we called his story Leaping from Tall Buildings. There are many stories in this book written by living, breathing people who have been saved by the intercession of this masterful archangel whose job it is to be our protector and our healer. Archangel Michael asks that we just call him, know his name and call him. So here's the story. In late 1978, I had just moved to New York City. What an adventure to live in the city of skyscrapers, of teeming millions walking, jogging, driving here, there, everywhere. New York, a city overflowing with humanity and overflowing with a cross-section of ideas. New contemplations of a young man in search of something more. It was during those first years in New York that I came upon some intriguing spiritual teachings that included an understanding of Archangel Michael and a prayer to him. It mentioned that Michael wielded a blue flame sword. This sword was meant to cut us free from negative energies and protect us from harm of all kinds. Of all the prayers that had been introduced during that lecture, the prayer to Archangel Michael was the one I felt most inclined to start memorizing. As I lay in bed that night, I recited this protection prayer a few times. My mind then wandered to another teaching. I had been reading about, in a series of books, astral travel, a process of stilling the body and allowing the soul to consciously separate out from it. Up to that point, I had not achieved astral travel, although I'd given it my best efforts and wished I could. In some frustration, I gave up trying and decided I would just relax and go to sleep. Well, be careful what you wish for. That night during the twilight place between waking and sleeping, something occurred. I was awakened by a humming sound. When I became fully conscious, I saw that I was slowly rising as the faint humming sound continued. It was somewhat misty around me, and I was definitely leaving my body. But how could this be? I had earlier given up trying to achieve this. Aha, it was exactly that. Because I had chucked the effort, I had relaxed myself into the very experience I wanted to achieve. And that was really all that was necessary to do it. Traveling outside my body, although greatly desired, was a new experience to me, and I became a bit frightened at the reality of this development. But I decided to let it continue. The humming sound was still there in the mistiness. After I hovered a few feet above my body, I decided to go to the window of my one-room loft apartment. I perched on the sill of the open window and I looked back, saw my body lying in bed. Interesting. In a moment of exhilaration, I decided to leap from the window up into the night sky. But as I was about to jump, I looked down at the street below, the cars, and few pedestrians taking a late-night stroll, unaware of the freed soul about to experiment with astral flight right above their heads. I heard the sounds of honking horns and distant sirens, and I became somewhat afraid that I would fall to my demise several stories below. I consoled myself by remembering that I was not in my weighty body, but in a spirit body of some kind. I took a deep breath, and off I went. I flew up into the night sky and away from the house. As I found myself lost in the darkness of the heavens, my fear took over once again, and I decided to descend. Just a little. I was sailing over Manhattan, floating over tall buildings and streets filled with slow-moving traffic, and I became calmer. Then my attention focused on one building with a top floor window opened and a light inside. I decided to take a look. Well, I'm going to let you read the rest of the story for yourself, and I'm going to cut to the chase, as it were. Wallace found himself on the ledge of this tall building, a skyscraper, and he looked down and became totally panicked. He wanted to go home. He was done with astral travel. And he thought, I want to go home. And nothing happened. And he thought, Archangel Michael, what was that prayer? And in his panic, he couldn't remember all the words. And then finally, they started coming to him, and he recited them. It took a few times. He had to calm himself down. And then all of a sudden, he saw a tunnel of light, and he was catapulted through that tunnel of light, through the window of his loft apartment, and smack dab into his body again. He bolted up in bed and was so very grateful to be back home, in every definition of that word, back into his own home body. He understood in months to transpire that it was Archangel Michael actually teaching him a lesson, that astral travel may not be the choice of spiritual experiences for the initiate on the path, that when really searching union with God again and oneness with God. And so Wallace chucked astral travel and hung on to Archangel Michael. It's a great story, which I appreciate so much. So we have the 12 archangels. We have the 7 Chohans, or Lords of the Rays, which I will share with you in very much specificity, as I'm allowed to share in the future. They're called the Lords of the 7 Rays. They are marvelous ascended masters, some who have ascended very recently in the last century, who are now taking these positions in God's corporate office, who have a special interest in you and me. I'd like to share in the few minutes I have left here one special ascended master, a lady master. Her name is Nada. She's on the 6th ray. Her colors are purple and gold flecked with ruby, and she relates to the solar plexus, and her flame is service, ministration. Well, as I was one day giving a morning sermon, I was told after the sermon by a friend of mine that she saw Nada in my aura. I wasn't even talking about Nada, however, she was there. The same friend saw me several years later. We were at O'Hare Airport together, waiting for our drivers to pick us up. We embraced, and she said, Carol, Nada is still there in your aura. And I was very thrilled to know that. I kept praying to Nada through the years. Why she was specifically in my aura, I have a feeling about. Now, my friend Gaudencia didn't know this, but I was born in New Bedford, Massachusetts. And I learned that one of Nada's retreats was right above that city. And for all my life, even though I didn't know her, she was there for me. I know she and other sponsoring masters brought me to the teachings of the Ascended Masters. We have sponsorship. And even if we don't know their names, they are for us all the time. They are with us. Knowing their names makes a tremendous amount of difference. Would you ever marry someone and not know or ask them their first name? Would you ever have children and not give them names? There's power in these names, and that's why we're given them. So we not only know the name intellectually, but we feel the flame. So many in God's corporate offices. I consider this not only a flow chart, this depiction that we've been given, but my business card. It shows me how I fit into God's corporation. This is my Buddha nature chart. I have a large one on my wall. I give these out. They are so important to come to know and meditate upon. Some final thoughts. Why do we have and are given by the Ascended Masters this understanding of life so teeming, including the elemental kingdom, which we've hardly touched upon? There's life everywhere, God's life, in all of these identities and beings. I feel because the more members of our family, if they're not dysfunctional, the more love. In fact, that's why we're here. God desired to multiply himself, and God is love. Every individual you meet is an aspect of this corporation. And as we look at them and their in true integrity, who they really are, they are a multiplication of God's love by their pure existence. There are a few heart streams I'd like to share with you for you to look at later. In that section of our website that is called Foundational Teachings, El Morya renders poetic understanding who God is to his own heart. The heart stream is called Who is God, and you'll find it under blogs and teachings, and then to foundational teachings. Read it if you haven't. Also in foundational teachings is an article on the Universal Great White Brotherhood, which explains in more detail than I've shared today how this aspect of God's corporation is so invested in you and me. I'm going to just read in closing one section from this article on the Universal Great White Brotherhood. If you desire to realize your full potential and your reason for existence, if you want to experience an abiding peace and a love beyond human love, get acquainted with one or more of the Ascended Masters. It is they who are collectively the spirit of the Universal Great White Brotherhood. It is they who will lead you all the way to ultimate reality. To invoke their presence, just call them by name. Talk with them as you would talk to any friend. Meditate upon them. Give them your attention in clearing your heart and mind so that they may commune with you. Thank you for your time, dear member of God's Cosmic Corporation. I love working with you, and as we rise on the corporate ladder, we expand God's love. Isn't that wonderful?